Well, if you've been around the last couple of Sundays and heard the gospel lessons in the lectionary here, you may recall that they were rather thorny. Thorny was the adjective I came up to describe them. I'm going to give you a couple of quotations from the last 2 weeks so you can hear what we've been dealing with in these gospel lessons from Matthew. 2 weeks ago it said, "Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to death, and you will be hated by all because of my name." And then again, that last week, "Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother," and on, etc. That was what Jesus was talking about the last 2 weeks. So finally, this week, we get something nice, right? Woo! "Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward." Isn't that, that's much better. It's much easier to talk about. It's all welcome this and welcome that, and none will lose their reward. Very pleasant. Very pleasant. Thank you, Jesus. Quite literally, because Jesus is the one that said all this stuff. Welcome everybody, give a little charity, we all live happily ever after, right? Can we go home? Can I go on vacation now? Are we done? No. No, that's not how this works. The tricky thing is that this gospel lesson we got this week from Matthew is part of the same speech. This is just the end of the long, scary talk that we heard the last 2 weeks here in the scriptures. Apparently, Bible scholars call this the missionary discourse, because Jesus is talking to missionaries. His disciples have missionaries. It's the second big speech teaching thing that Jesus does in Matthew's gospel, the first one being the Sermon on the Mount, which is firstly much more famous, and secondly has much less yelling sort of per word at the people and scary stuff. So no wonder we like the Sermon on the Mount better. But this missionary discourse is also important. So, this is the same speech we've been hearing. I wanted to write down that it scared the pants off his disciples who heard it, but people didn't wear pants then. So I guess it scared the tunics off the disciples. I don't know if that was a terrible joke, and I don't apologize for it. The trick is, though, this is a much more encouraging end to the speech Jesus gives his disciples, but we still need to notice who is who in this story and where we fit in. So Jesus says, "Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me," being God. The "you" in this story are the 12 disciples whom Jesus is addressing with the story, right? The "you," those 12 disciples, are not the ones doing the welcoming. They're not the ones giving the cup of cold water and receiving a reward. No, the "you," the disciples, are the little ones who are sent out to share the good news. The "you," the little ones, are those who receive welcome and hospitality, who receive the cup of cold water that they need. This story is addressed by Jesus to his faithful followers, but it's not really about them. It's not about what God will do for them, for the disciples. It's about what God will do through them, through the disciples, for others. And I think that we, as, you know, if we're followers of Jesus, it makes a lot more sense for us to see ourselves in the place of the disciples than it does to see ourselves in the place of those to whom the disciples are reaching. We've spent our whole lives growing up in the church, growing up with these stories of Jesus. Probably we are not the ones offering hospitality, welcoming others, giving the cup of cold water. We're meant to identify with the ones who are receiving those things when we go out. They call it the missionary discourse because Jesus is addressing his followers who are the missionaries who go out and share the good news and cure the sick and cleanse the lepers and all the other things the disciples do. Okay, so as I think about, you know, it's not about you. Like I had a, when I first saw this story this week, I had a different approach, right? I was thinking, oh, I'm supposed to welcome people and give charity and the, sort of the obvious things that we are supposed to do. That is part of the call of us as followers of Jesus. It's just not what today's story is about. It's not about us in that way. It's about what we can do for others. And I was reminded of, this week or last week or whatever, recent time, because time means nothing in the pandemic, you know, I got some Black Lives Matter signs. I put up a couple of them at church, so if you see them there, I put them there, and that's what they're doing there. And I got one at my house, and I gave one to a random neighbor who was walking by, and I gave one to a friend, and I gave one to my in-laws, there's one here. But I was thinking about these signs, because one of my neighbors walked by my house, and I saw him out the window, and I saw him looking at this Black Lives Matter sign, I saw him get all, and he got all grumpy about it. And I was thinking, like, how do you talk to somebody like that, that they hear the phrase Black Lives Matter, or they see a sign, and they get mad? Obviously, this is a white dude. And what I wanted to say, I didn't bother because it wasn't worth it in that moment, but, you know, like, maybe this sign isn't about you. Like, people see Black Lives Matter, they hear it, and they think it means only Black Lives Matter, as if black people matter more than other people, which is a ridiculous interpretation. It doesn't say that. It never said that. Nobody ever said that. It's just that some people hear it that way. Because they want to make it about them. They want to make it about themselves. They want to say, well, if this isn't obviously about me, then I don't know about that. Which is, I mean, just on its face, it's a ridiculous position to take on this thing. I mean, the idea, right? Well, let's put it this way. I saw this on a version of this on Facebook this week. God cares about the lives of black people as much as, or at least as much as, God cares about the lives of anybody else, right? I mean, that's how it works. God created everybody. God loves everybody. Everybody's equal. That's the idea. And the point of the whole movement of Black Lives Matter is to say, even though God loves everybody the same, our society has not treated everybody the same. And so in our society, we need to speak up and try to bring the lives of black people to the same level of care and respect and mattering as the lives of white people have been. That's the point of it. It's to raise everybody to the same level. It's not to say that these people matter and those people don't. So just stop. Anyway, the point of Black Lives Matter is if you hear it and you don't like it, then it's not about you. And let that be okay. Just like today when Jesus is talking to his disciples about other people, about what they will do, about the rewards they will receive. Because it's not about the disciples, it's about what the disciples do for others. We are the little ones that Jesus refers to. Apparently Matthew uses this, in Matthew's gospel, Jesus uses this term, little ones, a few times to refer to the disciples. And it's a strange thing, because you'd think Jesus' disciples would be like, hey, we're cool, we're strong, we're big, we're important. But Jesus instead consistently refers to them as little ones, because it's not about them. As followers of Jesus, we are not meant to be the powerful people. We're meant to be those who make ourselves vulnerable for others. Sure, I mean, Jesus, like I said, he sent his disciples to miraculously cure the sick and cleanse the lepers and feed the hungry and even raise the dead, which are powerful things to do. But at the end of the day, those disciples had to rely on the hospitality, the generosity of others, just to have a place to lay their head, just to have something to eat or a cold cup of water. The disciples of Jesus need to rely on others. And I think the idea of this is pretty ingenious as far as if I'm getting it right. Jesus sends his disciples out to receive the hospitality of others so that others can immediately begin participating in God's work of welcome and healing and care for one another. It's not just them going out and telling people, you should believe in Jesus because he's the best and he loves you. It's them going out and saying, you should believe in Jesus because he's the best and he loves you, and giving people the opportunity right then in that moment to do the thing that Jesus would do, to love and serve one another, to care for one another. Jesus is telling the disciples to go out and give people the chance to do the right thing right now. And then when they do, to teach them about the next right thing or to help them do the next right thing. In this time of pandemic and everything being strange and upside down and unfamiliar, I think, you know, we've already learned a bunch of new things. We learned how to do this. We're here on Zoom together. Congratulations. We've learned to do a bunch of new things. And this time isn't gonna be over soon. We're not just gonna go back in our building and worship the way we did. When we go back in our building, it's not gonna be the same. So let's continue to be open, continue to learn new things. I know it's exhausting, but most of us have plenty of time to nap at home, so we have time to do new things too. We're already out of our building. Jesus calls his disciples to be missionaries, so what better time than right now for us to learn how to be missionaries right now? Now, on the one hand, I'm speaking to myself, not just you all, because I don't know how to do that. On the other hand, there is a pandemic, so it's not actually that easy to go out and do the thing with people. I get that. It's still happening. But that actually makes it even easier, because you can be a missionary without even leaving your house. You can become a missionary on the phone or on the internet or whatever. Like, from the safety of your own home, you can start to figure out how to reach out, to venture out, to build these relationships, to give people the opportunity to welcome you and to share the love of Jesus and to give people the opportunity to share that love with you and with one another. So that's part of what I was thinking maybe we could do this week when we don't have our regularly scheduled church stuff, which I know is not a huge amount of time anyway. Probably we could do this any week, but what a particularly good week. Instead of having Bible study together as us, call somebody else. Talk to somebody else. Call somebody and talk to them about Jesus. Or better yet, listen to them. Listen to what's important to them. And then maybe tell them what's important to you. And hopefully what's important to you includes Jesus in some way. This is a chance that we all have, no matter what our age, no matter how long we've been doing things the same old way. We have a chance right now to follow Jesus in a new way, to serve God in a new way, to look around our country and our society and our neighborhood and our family and to say, you know, everything has changed. How can we be here for one another in a new way? Now you and I, faithful, long-time, lifetime followers of Jesus, and most of you have been members of this church for a very long time, and absolutely faithful in how you do that, you have already received your reward. When it talks about the reward of the righteous or the reward of the prophet or the reward of the disciple, the little one who gives or who receives the cup of cold water, you have already received that reward. You've already received the forgiveness and grace and love of God through the death and resurrection of Jesus. You already know. You've already been set free from the power of sin and death. And so the fact that today Jesus focuses on somebody else receiving that reward, somebody else receiving the reward that you have received, that's okay, because it doesn't have to be about you again, because you already know. So you can take this opportunity to make it be about somebody else. You have been set free. You can help others. You can help set others free with the good news and the love of God. You can go to people, reach out to people. You can be among the people who have been hurt by this world. Again, from the safety of your own house without spreading a disease that's killing people. It's the safest way to do it. And then maybe someday we can actually go out and do that in person. But, you know, we'll get there when we get there. One idea of reaching out and allowing other people to welcome you, allowing other people to welcome us, and allowing other people to participate in God's work. You know, maybe you don't have to reach out to people who've never been to church before. And I mean, you can reach out to whoever you want to, but a really easy place to start might be to reach out to the other churches that share our building with us, right? For too long, we've let our building define us as a church, as Hope Lutheran Church, as for that matter, any Lutheran church I can think of, basically. We let our building define us. You know, we worry about who's paying rent because that's what pays our bills. We worry about fixing the roof so it doesn't collapse on us. These things are important, but we've said it 100 times. The building that we have has taken up so much of our energy as a church since I've been here that we haven't had a chance and we haven't had the ability to do this work, to do this missionary work, to share the love of God and to build the relationships we need to. We're out of the building now, and I'm just starting to poke my head above the constant anxiety of figuring out how Zoom works and worrying about my family and all the things. And I'm going to go on vacation, and hopefully I'll get back, and I'll be able to do more and do the real thing. You know, we want to talk about being missionaries and following Jesus out in this way and sharing the message in this way and receiving hospitality in this way. We have 3 churches at our place that already do that better than us. We have Good Samaritan, we have Ebenezer Lee, and we have Heaven Citizenship. And all 3 of those churches already do this, or they have done it. I mean, they built those churches. The pastors of those churches helped start those churches. Those people started that work. I know some of y'all have been around Hope almost long enough to have started that, but not quite. And we haven't done that as an adult. So we can learn so much just from the people we already know, from the relationships we already have. And just to be clear, I'm preaching to myself more than anybody else right now, but this applies to you too. You know, we as Hope Church in our building have welcomed these churches for years. And we haven't yet taken the full opportunity to learn from them how to be the church. That's what we're going to do. That's, for me, that's a really important part of what I have to do in the coming weeks and months, is figure out how to learn from the other pastors right at our place how to be the church in a new way. I don't know how to start a church, but I can think of a few pastors who do, and they all were in our place all the time when we were in the same building. And I have their phone numbers, and I talk to them on Zoom, and I can do that, and I can start to learn from them how to do this work, this very work that Jesus is talking about today, of being welcomed, of giving other people the opportunity to participate in the love of God and neighbor. So that's what I'm going to do, and I hope that you will join me. And this is as good a week to start as any. Amen.